Unconventional Life, the show where twice a week I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Each of these individuals are at the top of their game in terms of revenue and reach in their respective industry, living life in the driver's seat beyond what is traditional or predictable. On this show, you will learn how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck.
It means living a life of passion and purpose.
And what would it look like if you create it from the ground up?
Everything that's shown up in my business has been a place for me to grow or expand as a human being.
I pretty much get paid to be me.
Very frequently, the exact things you think are against you might be the things that are actually the reason you can make it.
I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder. On today's episode, we have got a special guest joining us from Turkey. We've got Michael Grab. Michael, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Well, Michael is joining us, like I said, from Turkey, and what he does in living an unconventional life is super unique. He does rock balancing with his company, Gravity Glue. So he's one of the guys, if you've ever seen rock sculptures out in the creek or in different places, he stacks all these different rocks together and makes beautifully insane creations, and I've been watching him do it for several years. And so he goes all around the world to different festivals and events and puts on these beautiful displays. And so with the theme of our show, was the perfect guest to have on. So Michael, I wanna welcome you to the show and go ahead and, you know, share anything I might have left out and tell us a little bit about your personal life.
Well, thanks for having me. I am a professional stone balancer. I actually started doing it in Boulder Creek, Boulder, Colorado, back in 2008, and just kind of became obsessed with it, and now I have managed to make it my way of life.
Yeah, awesome. I met Michael actually probably close to 2008 when you were maybe earlier on, and I would watch him by the Boulder Creek just stacking these things. And, you know, at the time you were living like someplace down on Pearl Street, trying to make it, living the struggling artist, if you will, lifestyle, and to see your work and your skill set progress to being where you are now, joining us from, I imagine, some hotel or Airbnb in Turkey, you know, doing work with what you love is truly inspiring. And so take us a little bit through that journey of what it was like, kind of by accident, stumbling upon this passion of stone balancing, and then, you know, the journey of how you've made it work for a lifestyle to where you are now.
Well, it started mostly by chance. I was eating psychedelics one day and hanging out in Boulder Creek, and just started stacking rocks. And never really thought of it at the moment as any kind of art or profession. it was kind of a meditation at that point. And I found it to be a useful therapy from a job I hated. And probably did it for maybe 4 years or so, kind of on the side while carrying on this other job. And eventually kind of the obsession took over, and I didn't really have any time left to go to my job because I was too ingrained in this new practice or developing practice. Eventually people just started calling me an artist, so I guess I classifying myself as an artist. And yeah, I never really tried to do anything with it, really. I just became obsessed with it and started doing it, and then the world started noticing, and then somehow I blew up huge and got lucky, I guess. Well, actually, no, I don't believe in luck. Everything kind of happens for a reason, as I've come to believe.
Yeah. So what was it like, you know, I've kind of behind the scenes been watching this journey in a lot of ways, but what was it like for you making the decision to finally leave the job that you were doing that you hated and pursue this full time? Were you ever scared or wondering if it was going to work out, or what was going through your mind when you made that decision?
Well, that was a gigantic leap of faith. Well, actually, it was kind of an intelligent leap of faith, because our culture kind of trains people to think, in my opinion, in a fairly limited way. And in the job realm, that limited way is kind of like, oh, you have to have another job secured before you leave one specific job. And in general, that's probably the safe way to go. But I don't think anyone ever really became super successful by taking the safe road through life. So it was definitely a huge risk to just quit my job and start doing this full time. But I mean, I saved up a little bit of money before that, just as kind of a initial financial padding. And I just kind of went for it. And without having done that, I would probably never have, I probably wouldn't have found myself where I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of our listeners are kind of straddle that point sometimes of feeling like they want to jump into their passion that's kind of like naturally propelling them forward, yet having this job, and it's like, do I do the leap of faith or the intelligent leap of faith, as you called it? And so, you know, I know for you, like, in what happened the following bits after that, like, what was it like kind of going on this entrepreneurial journey for maybe the first time, having no idea how to navigate it? What was it like when you got your first call for either like your first event or the first opportunity that came your way that was going to be something related to cash income? What was that experience like?
Well, I mean, first off, it involved quite a bit of really hard grunt work while I was maintaining this kind of dead-end job, because anyone who works 9-to-5 knows they come home and they're completely exhausted and kind of dead to the world and don't really have energy to do anything for themselves. So I kind of fought that whole paradigm, and I came home from work and drank tons of coffee and put a lot of work into web design and like developing my website so I had some kind of platform to present my work. I mean, I never really expected much of it, but at the same time, like, it did take quite a bit of extra motivation and work to really make that happen initially. And I'm sorry, repeat your question again.
Yeah, well, I think that that was exactly answering it in a lot of ways, is that, you know, I think that it's easy to be able to come home from work and to, you know, kind of unplug or turn off or be dead to the world. And it takes something. So I just wanted to highlight like that bit of golden nugget for people that are in 9-to-5s, that it's not like you can't still pursue what you're wanting, but it does take a conscious choice, as you mentioned, to kind of shift that paradigm. And so my continuation of the question was then, from that moment, what was it like getting to the first sale, if you will, or the first, you know, bit of cash income that came in as a result of the decision in your new business?
Well, I guess part of my secret is I never really tried to make money with it. It seems counterintuitive, since I started pursuing it as kind of a career path. But I think the key is, like, for any artist, is just to create and create and create and really not care about anything else. You just constantly put out this prolific body of work. And I think through all that constant daily creation, like, I didn't really care about anything else. I got up in the morning, I barely even paid attention to my email. Actually, I still barely ever pay attention to my email. I only really take really big offers at this point, which has been pretty successful. I've managed to carve out a pretty narrow niche in the world as far as career paths. But I don't know. I think the key is just, I mean, it's pretty cliche to just say follow your passion, but just, if you are passionate about it, just do it as much as you feel like it, which for me was every day. And I mean, eventually, if you practice something enough, you'll master it. which I think I mastered fairly early through all the practice. And it's kind of just a whole magical journey, actually. Just things have somehow lined up with like celestial events and just all these weird happenings. It's just, I don't know, someday I plan to write a book about all of it, but it's just kind of...
Yeah. Well, in a lot of ways, it's really beautiful to hear the journey of it, because, you know, you're like, all I did was I'd wake up every day and I would create, and I didn't have an attachment to where the creating went. I just know that, like, I'm imagining that creating just felt good to some degree. And then to relentlessly keep, like, mastering your art and your craft and your skill, it comes a point where it's almost like the amount of energy that you're putting into what you're doing, it's almost like an opposite reaction. The world matches that energy back to you with the opportunities. And so, you know, it's like kind of talking about the magic. It's like if you could unmaster, unbunk the magic, like what would that look like? And I think a lot of it has to do with putting in a lot of unattached, you know, energy and effort into your skill and your craft.
So. Without expectation is kind of a key. Yeah. Because I think a lot of I think a big thing that helped me too was getting involved with social media. And like in 2011, I created a page called Gravity Glue on Facebook. And I didn't really think of it much other than just a way to reach or just share my daily photos with whoever wanted to look. Like I never really went through friends lists and invited every single friend, and I never paid for any kind of sponsorship or whatever. I just basically made this page and posted a photo of my work each day. I'm just like, hey, this is what I made today, blah, blah, blah. And I also kind of attached it to quotes or words that I found to be inspiring through my experience and process. And that ended up, I think, connecting with a lot of people.
Yeah. And I mean, what you're highlighting is really like action, committed action without attachment or expectation. It's like being very clear that making and doing that work every day was something that was really important to you, and putting it up on Facebook really resonated for you. And as a result, it seemed like it had a lot of space to have other things show up.
It was fairly slow growth too. Because I think I opened the page in 2011 and it took at least a year to reach even like 700 followers. Then after that, it just kind of kept spiraling out of control, and now it's up over 200,000. I mean,
that's wild.
It's really crazy, especially since I've never paid for a single post or like tried to get extra followers. Like the internet does all my marketing for me at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even in the last week, one of my videos just went viral and I just got like 11,000 new followers just doing nothing, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the work speaks for itself. And I think that says a lot about the actual quality of the art form that I'm putting out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot about yourself. You know, I think sometimes people focus on how they're going to market what they're doing with, and then lose sight of what they're actually creating. And for you, it's
happens to so many artists nowadays.
Yeah.
Is they focus so much on a business model and not enough on the actual creative process. And when you put so much energy into the business model, it deprives energy from the creative process itself. Whereas if you focus completely on the creative process, I mean, for me, that was the successful route of just getting to where I am now, is just focusing entirely on creation.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit, you know, about the niche down process, if you will. And you had mentioned a little earlier that you've somehow carved out this like really unique niche for what you do for stone balancing, for, you know, these types of gigs. And so, you know, for some of our listeners that might be joining in wondering, like, what does the revenue model look like, or what does like niching down look like in this profession? Can you share a little bit more about that?
I have no idea. It just kind of happened. It definitely started with some pretty big internet blogs covering my work, and ones that have like an international audience. And kind of once that started happening, I mean, it just is kind of a viral thing. Like once one big thing covers it, then all these other things start noticing it and they want to cover it too. And I think also just the nature of my work too, it's just so mind blowing to a lot of people. Like, I mean, a lot of people still accuse me of using Photoshop and whatever. It's just something that's really unbelievable when people see it. And I think that is also a large part of why I have gotten so much exposure. But I mean, all like within the first couple years of like the first big blogs covering it, like Huffington Post picked it up and NPR picked it up. And I mean, all these really big media outlets. And I mean, that went a long way initially. And that, I mean, just feeds energy back into the process. Like it's a huge kind of inspirational wheel that keeps turning to know that all these people are tuning in and responding to what I'm making. It's like infinitely inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so I imagine too, like a lot of it is accidental. And then there's like kind of getting to a point where now I imagine you kind of expect like stuff to be moving, like maybe out of the uncertainty period of like, is anyone going to see this? Is anyone going to be impacted by my work? Maybe there's still some of that, but I would imagine now there's like some consistency of like, okay, people are seeing my work. I'm going to get, you know, opportunities. Is that how it is for you, or is it more like the former of the two?
Well, I think I'm at a point now where I've finally broken through all of the guessing phase, and it's more now I'm like a real professional artist. Like I'm being offered huge amounts of money to do like various projects, and I can demand that amount of money for, I guess, the name that I've developed for myself, and like I guess the degree of, I guess, just general mastery of my art that I've reached just through daily practice over and over and over again. And like I'm probably one of the only stone balancers, period, that travels and balances as like my main mode of existence.
Yeah.
And I think all the traveling really helps tap into that international market. Like, for example, getting hired at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland and like flown in by this like crazy bank and like this private party. And it's just completely surreal things like that. And like once all those things start rolling, then other high profile clients start seeing those things and they're like, oh man, this guy must be really good at what he does. And I think that really feeds into it. But I mean, at this point, I think I've, like I said, broken through the whole guessing game. And now it's just, I can like go through my email and pick and choose what I want to respond to and like what job I want to take or whatever. Like I can really narrow down what clients I want to work with, which is a really nice luxury to have as an artist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of like constantly sacrificing like my values or my dignity or whatever to take like any job I could possibly get. Like I don't want to do that because I think that devalues my art.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And I think it's important what you're highlighting because sometimes people think that, you know, they want to like too early just, you know, be very picky. And you can do that. But I think there are different phases of entrepreneurship and phases of the journey. And so, as you said, like moving out of the guessing game, being able to say, hey, my art speaks for itself. This is like what I want and being clear on that. And so for our listeners that are tuning in, like give us an idea, like what is like someone like the World Economic Forum, what do they pay for something like that? Like what are some of these like higher profile types of gigs? Our listeners love to get like concrete on like the numbers or, you know, just like the world of it.
I did a 7-minute performance at this World Economic Forum, and since it's being sponsored by like this massive international bank, I was just like, okay, I want $5,000 for these 7 minutes. And they're like, okay. I'm like, awesome. Yeah. I mean, now that I look back at that, like if it happened again, I would probably charge 3 times that much. I've come all this way since then, and I mean, there's very, very few humans on the entire planet that could even, like, actually, I'd be surprised if any other person could pull off a performance like that in front of that kind of audience under those kind of pressures. I mean, that's something I think that, or part of the reason I've been able to carve out such a unique niche is because, like, what I do is extremely, extremely difficult work.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's still play and everything, because, like, it's what I love to do, and I've developed a skill so much, but...
Yeah, well, and it's, I mean, first of all, you know, for those that are, like, you know, trading time for hour, it's like trading time for minutes. Like, 5,000 for 7 minutes is, you know, for some of our listeners, like, amazing. And to be able to say, like, you're really carving out this industry from scratch. There isn't anyone that is doing what you're doing. Like, talk about following the non-traditional path. It's like you are creating it daily as you're going. And to be able to stay present to all the opportunities, but also present to yourself and your work. Like, I imagine what it takes to get ready for a performance like that. You've described it often as like a really meditative practice, but to be able to be like in the game for that while managing the business and the other logistics is probably like how do you manage all that?
Good question. If I messed up that performance, it would have been really, really bad. You know, because like, there's like all these billionaires watching me, and like these people need to impress their guests. So like, if their performer like totally messes up the performance, it reflects really badly on the client. So that's a huge amount of pressure, probably the most pressure I've ever felt in my life, all condensed into 7 minutes. I don't know, you just have to do it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks so much. So we're going to transition into my favorite part of the show, which is our rapid fire round. And so what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and we'll move through them rapid firely, and then we'll move to the end. So are you ready for the rapid fire round? All right, so question number one, what was the biggest thing that held you back from going down this path less traveled?
Worrying about whether it would work or not, which most of it was completely unfounded and imaginary.
Question number two, what is the number one thing that keeps you up at night today?
I mean, just probably everyday human things, like, is it going to be windy tomorrow or something? I don't know.
I imagine for a stone balance, like, the wind's important.
Now it's a little bit, I guess, sometimes, like right now, there's not really much worry on my mind. I guess what I'm most worried about right now is what I'm going to do next week when I arrive in New Zealand, and I still don't have a plan.
Awesome. All right. Next question. What is the one thing, or give us one thing that you do to stay calm under pressure when it's time for you to perform?
Usually I have one or two glasses of wine or something, depending on the event.
Awesome. If you could recommend one resource or one piece of advice that someone told you on this journey that really stuck to you, what was it?
I guess it's not really anything that anyone specific has told me, but it's something that I always kind of apply to the whole thing, is that it can all collapse without any kind of warning or, I mean, nothing's permanent. All flows, everything keeps going, and I have really no control over what's happening. I just kind of have control over the now moment, and that's the best anyone can have, is control over the now. And if you have control over the now and the next now and the next now, then you have control over it all, I guess. Right now, I consider myself successful, but who knows, in like 5 years, maybe it might not work out so well anymore. And that's just kind of a potential reality of the situation, but you just have to learn to deal with it.
The last two questions, how old are you? A question I love to ask all of our guests.
31.
31. And the final question is, what does living an unconventional life mean to you?
I guess not having a 9-to-5, just calling my own shots, being myself. I pretty much get paid to be me, which is really nice.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. For all of our listeners, how can they see some of your amazing work at Gravity Glue, and how can they stay in touch with you if they want to reach out further?
Either through email, which can be found on my website, or I mean, you could pretty much follow my daily creation by going to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gravityglue, or else like Facebook is what I post to most often, or Instagram, or that's usually the most current, or those are the most current channels. But I also have like Vimeo and YouTube, and you can see videos of the process and demonstrations and whatever. Yeah. Just any of those, really.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Once again, Gravity Glue, gravityglue.com, where you can find Michael on Facebook. Thanks for taking the time from Turkey. I know it's pretty late there, like 12-hour difference from where I am in Colorado. So
that's okay. I had a cappuccino for dinner, so it's all good.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you later. Unconventional Life, another great episode. Talk to you next time.
Yeah, see ya. Thanks.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests, featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.